Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, December 12th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent farmer who was at yesterday's protest at Westminster on why the changes to inheritance tax are so devastating for the industry. We'll also have an update on KMFM's Give a Gift campaign as they deliver Christmas presents to those in Kent who find themselves in less fortunate circumstances. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a baby has been flown to a London hospital after being bitten by a dog near Folkestone. Police and paramedics were called to Siskin Close in Hawkinge yesterday afternoon. 8-month-old Arabella was attacked by an XL bully called Hunter that's been described as normally a very friendly dog. Stephanie Coombs is the partner of the baby's great uncle.
This family just needs a bit of support, and you know, obviously you guys are here because you want to get it out and do your jobs, and we totally understand that, but everyone's got to think of this family and what's going on with this little baby. And you know, it is Katie's birthday today, and it's a really upsetting situation. The dog and the baby got on. They were like two peas in a pod. The baby would grab the dog would go over, check the baby, sniff the baby, go off and do its own thing. This was so out of character for Hunter. It come out of nowhere. I just feel so sorry for the family. She was in ICU last night, and that thing's... It's touch and go, but it is what it is, and we've just got to be there for the family, so... It is shocking. We sat there yesterday and we weren't expecting it. You know, you see and you hear about it all the time, but you don't think it's going to happen to your own family. And then when it does, you don't expect it to happen to a 17-year-old girl. She's never had no luck in her life. You know, she's always lived with her nan. She's had so much going on. So for this to happen to her, it's devastating. That baby is her world. You know, everyone's children are their world, but you can see the bond that these two had, it's unbreakable. So if anything happens to that little girl, I don't know what's going to happen to this family, because it's all happened so fast, and it's just not fair or nice for anyone, is it?
Police say an 18-year-old man and a 76-year-old woman have been arrested on suspicion of being charged of a dog dangerously out of control.
Kent Online News.
A takeaway worker from Edenbridge who murdered his disabled girlfriend has been jailed for life. Hussein Kalyanchu viciously attacked Sonia Parker in May following a row over her using WhatsApp. The 33-year-old from Stiles Close in Four Realms has been told he'll have to serve 19 years before he can apply for parole. This is the moment he was arrested.
Sorry, tell me again what's happened.
I'm fighting with my partner. And I'm punching here actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and lost. She's still very bad and she's going down. And now I call the ambulance and come to help.
Okay.
Right, Hussein.
I know he's not good.
Yeah, no, so it's...
You know what I mean?
It's 8:35, okay? I'm arresting you on suspicion of assault, okay? You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned, something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
An asylum seeker in prison for manslaughter after four people died during a small boat crossing to Kent has lost a bid to appeal his conviction. Ibrahim Abar was jailed for 9.5 years for piloting an unseaworthy vessel from France in December 2022. The Senegalese national tried to claim he'd been threatened by smugglers if he didn't make the journey. Lady Chief Justice Baroness Carr ruled his case was not arguable.
The judge was entitled to conclude that the harm of the immigration offence was high, for the reasons that he gave. The judge was also entitled to conclude that the applicant's culpability for manslaughter was high. Though primary responsibility for the overall offending lay with the traffickers, the applicant persisted in the conduct which arose in the context of other serious criminality and demonstrated a clear disregard for the high risk of death.
Two brothers from Gravesend have been jailed for a total of 25 years for a sex attack on a child. The offences were committed in the early 1990s, but reported to police by the victim in 2021. Gurdwa Basra from Northcote Road and Onka Basra, who now lives in Warwickshire, were convicted following a trial. A 17-year-old boy from Dartford has been arrested following a stabbing in Rochester. A 16-year-old was taken to London after it happened in John Street about 8:30 on Tuesday night. The teenager's being held on suspicion of assault. Three teenagers and a 20-year-old man who carried out a spate of robberies in Tunbridge Wells will spend Christmas behind bars. One of their victims also suffered cuts to his head after being attacked with a bottle in Calverley grounds. The group admitted offences just before going on trial. They'll be sentenced in February. Firefighters are investigating after tyres and waste materials caught alight in Swanley. Crews were also called to the blaze on Beechinley Lane yesterday afternoon. They managed to put out the blaze and no one was hurt. Now, a sad anniversary in Kent now as today marks 10 years since the man responsible for the brutal murder of a Dartford schoolgirl was jailed for life. Claire Tiltman was stabbed in a frenzied attack down an alleyway off London Road in Greenhithe on January the 18th, 1993, when she was just 16 years old. Former milkman Colin Ash Smith was charged with her murder in February 2014. That's 21 years after the brazen attack. A year later, in December 2015, Ash Smith was refused leave to appeal his conviction, meaning he may never leave prison.
Kent Online News.
Hundreds of farmers have driven tractors very slowly through Westminster, urging the government to reconsider plans to introduce inheritance tax on agricultural land. It would see a levy imposed on some farms worth more than £1 million. They staged the protest outside Parliament. Robert Warnock is a dairy farmer from Dover. He's been speaking to Aidan McNamee from our colleagues at KMTV.
Farmers are facing massive financial pressures. The margins are extremely low on farms. Farmers are really struggling with their mental health due to the long hours and low pay that they get for their produce. We do the job because we absolutely love it, but at the end of the day, we need to invest in our farms, and due to the high costs, we just can't afford to invest anymore. And there's already many children not going and following their parents in the farming businesses now. And we need to try and reverse that decline and encourage more children to come into the farming.
And so how long have you been a farmer?
So I'm a fifth generation farmer. So we've been dairy farmers for at least 100 years. But the pressures on us now are like nothing I've experienced before.
So you're from a farm that has been inherited, passed down,
yeah, over the generations. Yeah.
Do you think that's something that's going to be possible?
I really don't know. I mean, as it stands at the moment, for our family farm, we potentially could have a tax bill for £1.2 million. Now, I know we get 10 years to pay that tax bill. That's £120,000 a year we'll have to find. Our farm is making an average profit over the last 3 years of £80,000. So that leaves a £40,000 shortfall. And we would then have to sell land, which would then be, would have capital gains tax put on it. We would have to sell land to be able to pay the inheritance tax. Now, for the last 70 years, we've been trying to grow the size of our farm. And if we have to sell land off, all that work over 70 years will be for a waste of time.
And I'm just curious, you mentioned the numbers. Yeah. A lot of people not in the know, not in farming, yeah, say, oh, well, you know, they're millionaires, over £1 million. Yeah. Why is that not quite the full story?
Right. Farmers are asset rich but capital poor, so the farm is worth a lot of money, but unless we sell the farm, we'll never see any of that money. And as farmers, all we hope to do is just to pass it down to the next generation so they can then look after the land and produce food and just keep the business going. And that's what this country relies on. So it's a bit of a misnomer, the business about farmers being rich, asset rich but capital poor. I know farmers have got children that are having to share modest farmhouses with their parents. I know farmers that live in caravans in their fields because they don't earn enough money from working the land to actually afford a place to live.
So Keir Starmer insisted most won't be affected and accused the Tories of fear-mongering. Meanwhile, Kent's JB Gill told the Kent Online podcast he hopes the work he does on his farm will help raise awareness of the struggles farmers face. The JLS star presents a number of farming shows on the telly. He also rears turkeys for Christmas on his land in the county. He's been chatting to Lucy.
Our busy period is towards the end of the year. And so we've been relatively busy up until now. And then it kind of goes a bit crazy sort of from the 15th till about the 22nd or 23rd. That's when we do the bulk of sort of our trade on the 22nd and 23rd. And then after that, it is kind of done really for Christmas. You know, everything's sold, everything's packed up, and we can just enjoy each other's company.
And how have things changed over the last 10 years in terms of farming? I know farming's been in the news a lot recently and people are kind of understanding the struggles that farmers are facing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's always a work in progress. I think people forget that every single year is different. You know, we've had some years on the farm where, you know, the weather's been perfect and we've had, you know, a brilliant season, and then we've had some where, you know, there's been lots of rain, or it's been super cold, or it's been a very dry summer, and that always has an impact, and it's something that you can never control. You know, weather is always something that you're trying to manage and trying to you know, battle, and you know, and then of course there are always external factors, you know, making sure that, you know, you've got, you know, you're doing all the things that you need to do in order to have a successful season. And, you know, it's not easy. And I think everybody's farming is different as well. But there's, you know, the common point in that, you know, you're all trying to get a great job done, you know. And I think over the years, you know, having more, you know, farming shows on television and sort of opening, you know, that world to people who perhaps wouldn't be able to experience it under normal circumstances, you know, it's been really, really important. It's one of the reasons why I'm, you know, proud to be part of, you know, the On the Farm series for Channel 5. And, you know, you've seen the success of shows like Clarkson's Farm and so on. And, you know, and also the interaction between those key figures within the community. I've always been well supported by people like Jimmy Doherty and Adam Henson, and, you know, shows like, you know, Country File and, you know, other farming shows. I think has really given an insight to people of the struggles and how difficult it can be. And you're starting to see a lot more support for the industry, which I think is necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned obviously the different challenges, different years with the weather and things like that. What's it been like this year, and how are things looking as we head towards Christmas?
It's actually been quite a good year. Often sort of October, November can be very wet. And I know it's been raining today, and it's probably going to be quite wet going into December. But for the most part, it's actually been quite mild this year, which makes a change, and it's a welcome change from my perspective anyway. But yeah, it's, as I say, we're in good shape going into Christmas. You know, we've had a good year this year. Sales are up on last year, which you can always, you know, it's always good, and what you always hope for. And yeah, as I say, we're looking forward to having a good season.
Kent Online News.
The MP for Sittingbourne is facing criticism as it emerged he's encouraged the government to look at plans for a huge new housing development. Council bosses were due to refuse proposals for more than 8,000 properties last month, but it was called in at the last minute following a letter from Kevin McKenna. It comes as the Prime Minister prepares to announce an updated national planning policy framework. Chris has more for the podcast.
Sir Keir Starmer's vowed to override planning blockers with sweeping changes that could see building on parts of England's greenbelt. The shake-up will see councils given mandatory targets to deliver a total of 370,000 homes a year.
Plans for 150 homes in East Morling have been given the go-ahead. That's despite opponents saying the development would make the area an ecological desert. The site covers almost 7 acres, with two being left as green spaces. A former Tunbridge nightclub has been put up for sale after the developers turning it into flats went into receivership. The old SOS in Avebury Avenue was due to be converted into 23 apartments with a shop on the ground floor. The club closed in 2017 with planning permission granted 2 years later.
Kent Online News.
The Kent Online podcast has been told how more than 100 volunteers will be redistributing food to charities across Kent this Christmas. Fair Share supports over 140 groups, schools and organisations, and provides surplus food that would have otherwise been thrown away. Last year, 813 tonnes was sent out from their base in Ashford. That's the equivalent of nearly 2 million meals. Debbie Burden is from the charity.
We are finding that we're getting less kind of store-come food and a lot more fresh produce. So probably about a year, 18 months ago, we had, I would say, about 35 to 45% would have been fresh produce, whereas now it's tipped over the 50% mark. So it, in a way, that's good, because it just means that we're getting a lot of farmers' surplus if they've had a good year this year, which we tend to have gluts of things. So this time last year, it tended to be things like celeriac and courgettes. This year, it's been carrots and potatoes, onions, that sort of thing. So, yeah, but it's all very good, healthy food, thankfully.
Yeah, which is great for the people who are going to be eventually receiving it. How much more food are you distributing this year compared to previous years? We know the cost of living crisis has you know, been ongoing for a while now, and it doesn't seem to have let up.
We, as Fair Share Kent, actually operate two other CICs. We run the Family Food Bank, and we also run Kent Community Pantries. I would say that the food coming into Fair Share UK has definitely increased, probably around about 7 to 10% this year, whereas donations going into the Family Food Bank have definitely dropped. This is the collection baskets that you see in stores. That's probably down about 30 to 40% year on year.
But obviously increasing numbers of people wanting the food that you will be sending out. Give us an idea as to how many people you're going to be helping to feed over this festive period.
Fair Share UK's stats are fairly enormous. Around 21.5 tonnes of food just from November through to January, end of January, which equates to about 51 million meals. That obviously is a proportion of that will come down to Kent. But with the Family Food Bank, we distribute about 200 food parcels a week. That's fairly consistent and fairly stable. But this time of year, obviously, there is a bit more demand. So that does shoot up a little bit during these 4 weeks in the prelude to Christmas.
And what's it like for the staff working? I guess it's just non-stop at the moment, is it?
Yes. We run this place basically on volunteers. We could not work without the volunteers that we get here. We have a massive workforce, probably about 100 plus volunteers. They don't obviously all work every day. They do shift works, you know, across the week. But we have obviously a team that work in Fair Share UK and a team that work over here at the Family Food Bank.
Yeah, a huge effort. And what sort of reaction and what sort of response do you get from those charities that you're delivering to? Because they'll be the ones then passing it on to people who perhaps would have been going hungry.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, they're always so grateful for anything that they receive. Unfortunately, we don't operate like a supermarket. You can't order food that you want to be able to give. We literally have to just hand out the food that we receive in. Anything that we get into the store, to give you some example, never would be here for more than a week. So the turnaround is very quick. And, you know, sometimes we can be blessed with a lot of meat this time of year, which is always helpful and very generous from some of our suppliers as well. But yes, all the charities are very much appreciative of anything that they can receive to help feed their clients.
They also run a community pantry and food bank. A homeless man says he'd rather sleep on the street than stay another night at Kent's worst rated hotel. More than a dozen rough sleepers are currently staying at the Windsor Hotel in Folkestone, but there have been complaints of dirty carpets, stained bed sheets and plug sockets next to sinks. The owner says he's helping to address a shortage of temporary accommodation in the town, and restoring the site in Langhorne Gardens is a long and costly process. A woman has suffered cuts and bruises to her head and face after tripping over fly-tipped rubbish in Thanet in the dark. The metal wiring that's thought to have come from an old mattress had been dumped on Cliftonville Avenue in Margate. She's branded whoever left it dangerous and lazy. Businesses in Canterbury say they're worried the market could become oversaturated. Now the city centre is being transformed. Footfall is up 4% on this time last year, and while 18 units have closed in 2024, 30 others have opened up. It's led to an increase of competition between some shops, with some describing life on the high street as challenging. Clinical hubs have opened in Kent to take the pressure off emergency departments ahead of the busy Christmas period. Ambulance services are working with hospital and community teams to help avoid thousands of ED admissions by arranging alternative care. The scheme was trialled in Paddock Wood and is now also operating in Rochester.
Kent Online News.
A Medway-based company has won a multi-million pound contract to develop fighter pilot helmet technology. BAE Systems in Rochester has been awarded the £133 million deal by a consortium behind the Eurofighter Typhoon. Bosses in Medway are considering plans to have a youth mayor. The council reckon it'll encourage young people to engage with politics, and a Year 6 pupil would be elected. If it's all given the go-ahead, it'll cost around £33,000 a year, including £2,000 on ceremonial robes. Dozens of Christmas cards and other memorabilia from the Royals are set to go under the hammer after being found in Kent. They were sent by the family to photographer Alan Maxwell, who helped them choose their festive images. Thank you notes from Diana, Princess of Wales, are also part of the collection, which is expected to fetch thousands at auction later. And thousands of toys you donated to the KMFM Give a Gift appeal are still being delivered across Kent. Presents are being given to charities and other organisations that support children in less fortunate situations. They've also been taking gifts gifts to children's wards in hospitals. Let's hear now from some of those who have been receiving presents.
Hi, I'm Dean Elligan. I am the head of charity for East Kent Hospitals Charity. We're currently at Padua Ward at William Harvey Hospital. We are overwhelmed by the generosity of KMFM listeners and Hendy. These toys are going to make such a difference to poorly children over the festive period, and we're really grateful to you. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name's Neil Annis, Managing Director of Fostering Together, the Disability Fostering Service. We are based in East Brabourne, just outside Ashford. Fostering Together is a network of fostering families caring for children with disabilities or complex medical needs. We're particularly grateful to the listeners of KMFM for their generosity for all the toys they've donated and the hard-working elves at the office at KMFM for getting them to us. The children at Fostering Together families will be delighted with what they receive from these wonderful gifts. You should all know at KMFM and all the listeners that you'll be responsible for very many happy faces come Christmas morning. A really heartfelt thank you from Fostering Together.
I'm Tim Allison, Business Manager at the Caldecott Foundation. The really generous donations are going to put an extra big smile on the faces of all of the children who live with us over the Christmas period here at the Caldecott Foundation. And it's going to help make that Christmas really extra special. We'd like to send a big, massive thank you from the whole Caldecott Foundation family to KMFM, all their listeners and everyone who gave to give a gift this year.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Ebbsfleet United manager Harry Watling has left the club after just 90 days in charge. They're currently bottom of the table following a 12-game winless run in the National League. A statement says he left by mutual consent. And briefly in cricket, Kent's Tammy Beaumont has helped England to a decisive victory over South Africa in the final women's one-day international. She finished on 65 not out following the rain-affected game last night. It means England have won the three-match series 2-1. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.